Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. There's just so much I want to say to you that I honestly don't know where to start. So hang on to your hat. I'm very, very touched by the fact that, number one, that Pope Francis, when he was a young man, he experienced a strong call to become a priest after going to confession. And he had that sense of that vocation on the feast of St. Matthew yesterday. And that was in 1953. Brothers and sisters, if you have a problem with your tongue, like I spoke about yesterday, if you have a problem with it, turn to the Lord. Ask the Lord to give you the grace. Ask the Lord to help you. God wants our words, our conversation. We can have conversations, we can have deep conversations, but we don't have to tear down other people in the process. And I want to encourage you, please take note of this. Jesus said, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And that's what you want. We all can do all kinds of sacrifices during Lent and think, okay, I've done my duty. But Jesus says, "I desire mercy. I desire you to have mercy." So keep these thoughts in mind, please, as we take a look today at the 22nd of September. And the first reading is taken from the book of Proverbs. "Like a stream is the king's heart in the hand of the Lord. Wherever it pleases him, he directs it. All the ways of a man may be right in his own eyes, but it is the Lord who proves hearts. He knows what your intention is. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Hear that. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the tillage of the wicked is sin. The plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty. I can get going very, very fast myself. I can make lots of mistakes that way. So I, along with you, need to slow down a little bit and bring the Lord to people. Not just dash off a thought or an idea, but love the Lord in your conversation, wherever you are. And that doesn't mean that every word has to be a religious word. It's kindness, it's wisdom, it's insight, it's confirmation of whatever is going on in another's life. God will help you. The plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty. Whoever makes a fortune by a lying tongue is chasing a bubble over deadly snares. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no pity in his eyes. When the arrogant man is punished, the simple are the wiser. When the wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. The just man appraises the house of the wicked. There is one who brings down the wicked to ruin. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call and not be heard. Please, brothers and sisters, reach out to the poor. Reach out. I remember as close to being a teenager, and one day there was a knock at our back door, and that was unusual. And my mother went over to answer the door, and my father, whose garage was right next to the house, happened to see at that moment, and he saw this man who was standing there, and my father came over. My mother's inside the house speaking, and he said, "Can you give me anything to eat?" And I looked at him, and I thought, what kind of a disguise is this? Who is this? And by then, my dad was up beside my mother, and he said, "Of course we can give you something to eat." And they went and they got some things from the refrigerator and made a meal for him and invited him to come in into the kitchen to eat. Now, you can't do that with every person, but with both my mother and dad there, it was probably a more safe situation. And the man genuinely was hungry and was in great need. Brothers and sisters, look around you. What can you do? Sometimes it's a kind word. Sometimes it's a glass of water. Sometimes it's a toothbrush and toothpaste. Whatever it is that they need, if you can supply it, do it. Don't ignore the poor. Don't ignore those who are baking. You can tell the ones who are just trying it on for size, so to speak, and the ones who are genuinely in need. But please, don't turn your eye away from the poor. Please. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will himself also call and not be heard. Do you hear that last verse? Do you hear that? You don't want to be not heard. You don't want to discard, or you don't want to turn away from someone in need. Psalm 119 says, "Guide me, Lord, in the way of your commands." And that's what we want. I go over the Ten Commandments frequently in my own life. And I say, well, I might not be doing that, but I am doing this. It's just a good test for me. It can be a good test for you, too. Are you worshiping pagan ideas? You might not be worshiping a pagan god, but you're worshiping, in a sense, you're putting first in your life the desires that are not good. Brothers and sisters, pay heed. Blessed are they whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous deeds. The way of truth I have chosen. I have set your ordinances before me. Give me discernment that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commands, for in it I delight, and I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't just mean getting out of bed and going to Mass or going to church, another church, on Sundays. It means what it says here in Psalm 119, "Guide me, Lord, in the way of your commands." Look at the commandments. Seriously, look at them and see where you might be weak or where you're failing. And then ask God for help. You're not alone. Ask God for help. Then you can turn to a good friend for even more help. But please don't just say, oh, I've always done this, doesn't matter, when in fact it does matter. Let's take a look at the gospel. It's very short. Luke chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. The mother of Jesus and his brothers came to him, but were unable to join him because of the crowd. So there's all this crowd around Jesus, and his mother and his brothers come, but they couldn't get to him. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they wish to see you. And he said to them in my reply, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and act on it. They're the ones dearest to him. And you know the love he had for his mother. And you know the love he had for people. You know that. Love one another as I have loved you. So we want to love. But his point is that we want to put first those who are supporting us in Christ and leading us nearer and nearer to Christ himself. That's first. Parents, close friends, they all stand right near there, right there. But first, what would lead you closer to Jesus? What commandment do you need to pay more attention to? That's a good place to start. Take the Ten Commandments and ask the Lord where you need to improve, what you need to change. because he loves you and he wants you. He wants you to be one with him forever. After these few years here on earth, he wants you to be with him forever. One of the articles that I came across says this. It is Mother Elvira who writes this. Christians are truly that family about whom Jesus speaks. We and all those who want to do God's will are Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters. We're all included in that. If we really seek to do his will and to ask forgiveness when we fail. That is why it is easy for us to meet one another and to love each other. May those Christians who pray and who come to know Mary and to experience the love of the Eucharist never be divided. Never. Because Jesus lives in us. What identifies us as Christians is our capacity to love and, above all, to forgive, to reconcile, and to trust in order to begin again. Don't turn away from people, even if they have offended you or you have offended them. Seek for reconciliation. Ask God to give you the strength, give you the wisdom to reconcile that relationship. Just go around pouting is not the answer. Please, brothers and sisters. She says, we are joyful for we encounter each other through faith in Jesus, the bread of life. When we're struggling to live, to love, to help our neighbor, and to forgive ourselves and others, we have to remember that we are weak precisely because we do not eat and nourish ourselves with the bread of life to the extent that we should. And in a way, it's not just receiving communion, but in those moments of what I would call intimacy with God. Let him speak to your heart. And keep listening if you don't hear anything. Just listen and tell him you love him. Because when we're struggling to live, to love, to help our neighbor, and to forgive ourselves and others, we have to remember that we are weak because we do not eat and nourish ourselves with the bread of life. I know I read that to you, and I wanted to underscore it again. We know the source of all strength, the Eucharist. That is why God gave himself to us. When we're struggling to be good, the interior alarm rings out. Go, reconcile yourself with the people around you. Go to confession. Free yourself from your sin. Go receive nourishment from the bread of life. Oh, brothers and sisters, those are profound words to us. It's hard for us to ask for forgiveness. It's hard for us to turn to somebody and ask forgiveness. It's hard. We're so proud. It's hard. But do it. Because a much greater relationship at least will grow out of it, and your relationship with God will be very great. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.